This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, I'm Dave Berry, and I am fascinated by my next door neighbour. His name is Neil Srinivasan, and he is a leading cardiologist. During our time as friends, I've become more and more curious about his work, and I've often been left with more questions about the medical profession than I've had answers. And in The Doctor Next Door, I'll be asking Neil the burning questions that keep me up at night, dissecting medical myths under his watchful eye, and doing my utmost to learn more about an industry that is quite literally a matter of life and death. But this podcast isn't just about me and the doctor. No, let Neil be your doctor next door too. You can get in touch anytime you like with your questions or your stories, doctor@nextdoorpod.com. Oh, hang on a second. Here he is. It's the doctor next door. Hey, Neil.
Hi, David.
I'm going to cut straight to the chase. Have you ever had a mani-pedi?
No. What is a mani-pedi?
What do you mean, what is a mani-pedi?
What's a mani-pedi?
A manicure pedicure.
Oh, really? Okay, I thought...
You don't know, you've never heard.
No. I did think pedi maybe means he's having a pedicure, and then I thought, surely he's not having a pedicure.
Why? Why would I not have a pedicure? Do you not look after your feet?
No. My wife says I've got the worst feet ever. Are dreadful, my feet.
So the thing about this podcast is I'm learning lessons, and one thing that was very important to me very early on was about drinking to excess and, you know, just calming that part of my world down. And as you know, I've been trying to do just that. In fact, we went to the pub the other day and I had 2 non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah,
and I'm enjoying that. And I was meeting a couple of friends, and before they were released from the wilds of their work, I had like a couple of hours knocking about. And the old me would have gone to the pub on his own under the pretense that I was doing some work. Just because obviously everyone has a phone now, and if you're looking at emails, you're still drinking alone. Still drinking alone. Yeah. So I decided to get a mani-pedi instead. Mm. A good use of my time.
Okay.
But I'm shocked. And so when I posted this on my Instagram, which of course I was going to do, a lot of people got in touch saying, like, I wish my husband / partner / boyfriend went and had pedicures.
I think Julie wishes the same.
Julie wishes the same. So that's what I was getting at, because, you know, you're a well-kempt, you know, guy. You look after yourself. You're in good shape. You're at the top of your profession. Yet you're just happy to let your feet go to rack and ruin.
Yeah, I think it's a bloke thing, isn't it? And I think good on you for breaking down those barriers.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as saying I'm breaking down barriers.
You're trend-setting.
Well, I don't know if I am.
Yeah, I think it's a proper bloke thing. We all have really horrible feet, don't we? We don't bother because we're sort of blokey. And now you're breaking down those barriers.
Well, I think
you're going to have loads of men having mani-pedis.
Loads of men do.
Lovely feet.
I think they do. I like that you're painting me as some kind of forward-thinking hero. Yeah, but I don't think that I'm the first guy to have pedis done. Yeah, I mean, probably instead of going to the pub on his own, admittedly, you might be onto something there.
Yeah, but how many blokes were there in the old mani-pedi place?
There was nobody there. Okay. I was just on my own. It was glorious.
And did they say, oh, we have lots of men customers, or...
No, I didn't ask.
Didn't ask, okay.
Right. I didn't ask. They didn't go, what are you doing here? You must have taken the pubs next door, mate.
Exactly.
I mean, we've moved beyond that as a society, I'm pleased to say.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're going to have to do. The next time we've got any time to go and have a beer.
Yeah.
Because there's that little pink place, you know, opposite. It's actually next door to a pub as well near us.
I was going
to
say.
So we'll go in there.
Does the pub do orders inside?
Now, that is the most blokey piece of imagery I can ever think of. You sat there having a pedicure, but you're holding a plastic pint glass with a drink inside.
Sounds good.
Wow. But what about a manicure? You've got to look after your fingernails. Your hands go inside people's bodies, Neil, for heaven's sake.
I just make sure I cut them.
You just trim them.
And obviously, I make them really short, because if they're long, there's a risk of infection for pacemakers and stuff. And you have to clean them a lot. My hands get wrecked, actually, because we have to really clean them when we're scrubbing up. We have this really sort of hard bristle brush thing and this really quite sharp toothpick that we use to clean our nails.
Ooh.
So I just get loads of pain, really.
Well, go and get a mani-pedi.
It's a good idea.
I'll come with you. Thank you.
That's better.
It is now time for my burning question for Dr. Neil, a question that has been keeping me up at night, a question that only someone with Dr. Neil's incredible knowledge of the human body can help me answer. Now, Neil, the world is constantly wrapped up in football and / soccer, so I want to stay in the realms of sport and sporting prowess. And my question is, how do performance-enhancing drugs, PEDs, affect athletes?
So, good question, and very broad question, really. So, it depends on the type of sport you're doing. But the majority of sports, when we think of performance-enhancing drugs, are sports where you need more muscle mass, stronger muscle mass, and some sports where you need more oxygen carrying to the body. So the way that performance-enhancing drugs help athletes are in two ways, really. The first bit is training, actually. And you get a lot of, you know, if you think about some of the older stories we've had about performance-enhancing drugs, I suppose the most famous Olympic type one in my living memory was Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Actually, what used to happen there is that there was a period of testing for steroids, but you could evade that testing period because the testers, it's predictable when they're going to come, and it was relatively predictable with regard to around a competition you'd get tested before. So what you could do around that period of time, when testing wasn't as thorough as it is now, is that you could, for example, take an anabolic steroid, which is a performance-enhancing drug that makes your muscles bigger and stronger, which is what you need to run the 100 meters fast. But what, you know, those kind of athletes were doing was using those drugs to train harder without the, you know, you train and then you get injured, you train and then your muscles get fatigued. These drugs allow you to train harder without those symptoms, first of all, to build muscle quicker by training, and then you're well ahead of the competition when you come to competition time. Obviously, then, at some point, you know, that led to some athletes then making mistakes or getting caught as part of that, and we realised that there is this whole world of performance-enhancing drugs that, you know, blights sport throughout everything that we do. It's not something that's new. I mean, there's been suspicions about athletes taking drugs and rumours, you know, in the old, you know, Eastern Bloc-type countries, and we always have these murmurings about, you know, are people in a government-sponsored doping program. And really, it's been something that's been going on since the ancient Olympics, you know, the Greek times and stuff. People would drink magic potions, eat special foods, etc., to beat their rivals. It was riddled with those kind of things. There are also some other type of drugs, so things like human growth hormone, again, makes you stronger, makes you bigger. And then when we think about, more recently, the cycling scandals, those are based on the fact that we talked about in one of our previous episodes, we talked about if you go on altitude, for instance, your body will adapt. And as your body adapts, you get more red blood cells. So the simple thing that a lot of people do, marathon runners, cyclists, etc., is train at altitude. But you can also give yourself an injection of erythropoietin or give yourself more blood doping to have more red blood cells, to get more oxygen to the muscles. If you get more oxygen to the muscles, you're less tired, you're fitter. And so cycling, for example, has been, you know, troubled by that sort of problem for many, many years. And then it can go to things like, you know, boxing, for instance, weight, getting into the right weight category, etc. People take diuretics, which makes you pee. A lot of your body weight is water weight. If you lose that water weight, you become lighter. And, you know, to other sports such as snooker, darts, where you want to be calm and still, or archery, shooting, etc. And people take beta blockers. So there's a mix of performance-enhancing drugs relating to the sort of sport that people do.
And obviously, because there's such a range of drugs involved across all sports, as you say, used by some of the competitors, of course, we should definitely point that out. The side effects and the risks, I imagine they vary as well. But kind of broadly speaking, what are the risks of people taking PEDs?
So they can be bad for your body. You know, having too much red blood cells in your body can cause you to have a stroke,
can cause you to have, you know, problems with blood clotting in the limbs, those kind of things. It can cause you to have heart attacks, can cause damage to the blood vessels, high blood pressure later in life, etc. Anabolic steroids, growth hormones, they have huge effects on your body long term. You know, steroids can have effect on your fertility, they can have effect on your bones, bone thinning, skin problems, all sorts of things. And so all of them can be very harmful long term. And you can see why athletes do it. There's a desire to win. There's an economic pressure to win. There's so many expectations. Mm. And they're very motivated, you know, type A people. They want to win. They want to get one up on other people. And there's all these pressures for that. But in the long term, actually, it does you harm.
And also, as well, I imagine for a lot of these people, you know, the top athletes, they're discovered at such a young age, and you're just as a person, you're more susceptible to being persuaded into doing things that possibly if you were to be at the top of your game in your mid-30s, for example, you might not make the same choices as you are when you're kind of 17, 18 and you're embarking on this journey as a you know, a superstar athlete, whatever it may be.
Absolutely. You're young, you're an impressionable person, and you're a talent. And that is, you know, something that people will try and, you know, latch onto. And you're reliant on sort of, you know, father or mother figures of sorts, you know, your coach. And there are stories, for instance, where, you know, athletes didn't realise they were being doped. Mm. It's their coach, their coaching programme, etc., that's been going through a systematic period of doping these athletes without them realizing, and they just thought they were following the coach's orders and, you know, training.
Biological passports. Mm-hmm. Discuss.
So part of the problem that there's now a World Anti-Doping Organization, and they have a huge problem because as soon as they find out what the latest doping thing is, the dopers are ahead of the game. They're just, you know, using very clever scientists. There's a lot of money involved in sport. And there are people who are going to try and influence that. And so part of what they're doing is to try and get a series of tests from you, a series of times, and say, well, this is the norm for you. Because one of the other problems you face is that occasionally some people are super fit or super good at something, and then you test them and you say, well, you've got a really abnormal hemoglobin, for instance. But that might be normal for you. That's just your hemoglobin. You're just born that way. You've got a genetic mutation for something and you happen to be born that way. You shouldn't be penalized for that. That's just you. And so by being able to then say, okay, we're going to take a series of blood tests, that becomes your passport. That becomes, you know, your signature of what your body should be like. And then you can then test people, along with trying to test for banned substances, for sudden spikes or abnormalities. So your hemoglobin is normally this, and then suddenly you're riding the Tour de France and it's like five times or five more or something, you know, a third more in terms of its number. And then that can then trigger an idea that actually something funny is going on with this athlete and maybe try and, you know, catch them out.
If you are going to attempt to do that with me, please just pick the years 27 years old to 29 and let's just not talk about the rest. So, Dr. Neil once again has three medical questions for us all to answer. Neil, take it away.
So, David, your first question is, how many bones are in the human hand? Oh. Tough one.
Yeah.
Is it A, 19?
Yeah.
B, 27? Or C, 33? It's how many bones in the human hand.
Can we have the options again, please, Doctor?
So, A, 19. B, 27, C, 33.
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question two. Best of three again. So, which of these statements is correct? Is it A, nails grow faster in the summertime? Is it B, nails grow slower in the summertime? Or is it C, nails grow at the same speed all year round?
Well, if it's your toenails we're talking about, we'll let our pedicure artist be the judge of that. Okay, I've got my answer to that. I think I'm pretty certain on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
interesting.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. And then question three, your favourite bit, true or false?
Yes.
Okay. Fingers do not contain any muscles. Is that true or is that false?
Fingers do not contain any muscles. I mean, it just seems so obvious that it's probably the other one. But then again, you're not that kind of guy. Producer Jack's that kind of guy, but Neil, you're not that kind of guy.
So I have jotted down my three answers. You've got a little bit of time to get yours in order, because right now, from the producers of The Doctor Next Door, here's a podcast that we think is going to be right up your street.
Ever yearned for the perfect pub to reveal itself from some unexpected alley? Well, The Moon Underwater is the podcast for you. Join me, John Robbins, and the lovely Robin Allender.
Hi.
As we help a special guest create their dream pub. From the drinks behind the bar to the music on the jukebox, The Moon Underwater is whatever you want it to be. So, if you would like to join us in Desire's beating heart, search The Moon Underwater. Or maybe The Moon Underwater will search for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to The Doctor Next Door. Before that wee little break, Dr. Neil asked us all three questions to test our medical knowledge, and it's time to find out how well we did. Neil.
Okay, so let's go through the questions again. Question one, how many bones are there in the human hand? Was it A, 19, B, 27, C, 33.
This happens very rarely on The Doctor Next Door, but just as I've heard the options again, I've changed my answer at the last minute, adding extra drama.
Ooh.
Often I've gone for B.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing.
I had C and I moved it to B.
Very good. What made you think that?
I'm thinking 5, 10, 15, 20. I'm thinking five fingers times whatever around the B mark. Yeah. And the odd, what was option C again?
Option C, 33.
33, the three didn't quite work in my mind for some reason.
Good.
And were we counting from the, where
yeah,
do we go?
The whole
from the wrist?
Lot, the wrist, the whole hand.
Okay.
Exactly. So you have 27 bones.
27.
Your wrist, which is, you know, the bit that starts for your hand, actually has about 8 bones. They're called your carpal bones. And then your palm has what's called metacarpals, and they contain 5. But the remaining 14 are the digital bones, the thumbs, fingers, etc. So you can see you've got like 3 sets of bones in your fingers and 2 on your thumb, that kind of thing.
Okay, excellent. So I changed it around last minute. Maybe you had B all along. Maybe you decided to do what I did. But either way, we have a point on the board.
Very good.
Thank you.
Interestingly, you know, it's the opposite of med school tactics. Never change your answer. Is what they say in med school.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Yours worked. Very good.
Okay.
Okay. Next best of three question. Question two. Which of these statements is correct? Nails grow faster in the summertime. Nails grow slower in the summertime. Nails grow at the same speed all year round.
I think they grow faster in the summertime.
He is on fire today.
The thing is, because you can physically see that. I have noticed that. Have you not noticed that?
No, I've never noticed that.
That's because you trim yours down every day because of your job, right?
Yeah, and then I don't look at my toes.
Yeah, and neither does your wife, though. That's why you need to have a pedicure, doctor. No, but you can, if you don't have to trim your nails every day for work like you do, you'll just notice that they grow quicker in the sun, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So when it's colder, you have less circulation to your hands. When it's warmer, you're getting more circulation to your hands. And so when it's warmer with more circulation, the nails grow faster. When it's colder, they go slower.
Ah, 2 points.
Very good. He's doing well. Your favourite bit, true or false? Question three. Fingers do not contain any muscles. True or false?
False.
True.
Oh, no.
There's no muscles in your fingers.
Yeah, well, there are, but they start elsewhere. They start in your palm. So it's a trick question.
Here we go. Here we go.
It's the half a point alarm.
Here we go. I could see that coming in, twinkling
in
his eyes.
No, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. So they do, where do they start, sorry?
They start in your palm and they start in your forearm.
Yeah.
So they're really long muscles with long tendons. And then they attach to your fingers like a big lever. So do you remember? Oh, you probably don't remember. Law of the lever in physics.
No. But I like the fact you presume I wouldn't remember that. And I can't even defend myself.
Because I remember you telling me about your school days.
Yeah. What was the law of the lever?
Well, you know, think of a seesaw, right?
Yeah.
Evie and Rufus.
Yeah.
If they're really close to each other, it's harder for them to make it seesaw, right? Yeah. But if they're far away, the same weight will make it swing either side on the lever, right? Because they're using their weight across a big distance.
To give you an idea of what kind of pupil I was at school, I now have totally forgotten what we were talking about.
Oh dear.
All I keep thinking is, get this, if I could get my wrist to sing, it would be Carpool Karaoke.
Huh? There's a show in that.
God. Sorry. Hashtag Carpool Karaoke is now trending on Twitter. So, Dr. Next Door isn't just about myself and Dr. Neil. We love it when you get in touch and share your questions and stories. Please do so anytime you like. It's dr@nextdoorpod.com, or you can find us on the socials, which is Doc Next Door Pod. So, Neil, we have another correspondence. And this week, we have an email from Rebecca. And it reads, "Hi, Dr. Neil and Dave. Is it true that the liver can regenerate itself if part is removed or damaged? And are there any other body parts that can regenerate like this? Loving the podcast. I wish Dr. Neil was my real-life GP," says Rebecca. Well, thanks for getting in touch, Rebecca. And Neil, it's over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Rebecca, and thanks for your lovely comments. So the liver is a really large organ. It's sat under your ribs on your right-hand side, and it has a huge amount of important functions. It has over 200 different functions in the body in terms of supplying glucose to the brain, combating infections, storing nutrients. It's one of the most important organs for just filtering through everything around the body. It stores our fat, it stocks our iron, produces a load of detoxifiers, has an important role in creating blood as well, but it's also capable of regenerating, absolutely right. So if a part of the liver is damaged or removed, this is good news for you, David.
I'm a better man.
It has the ability to regenerate. So, for example, when somebody donates half of their liver, the remaining part of the liver can regenerate and actually enlarge, engorge.
Wow.
And then take up the slack, which is what makes things like liver transplant possible.
Well, there's, again, the nod that we do so regularly here on Doctor Next Door to just the marvel that is the human body. What a fascinating thing. I can see why you fell in love with wanting to study this thing. Are there any other parts of the human body that can do this? You know, that was the second part of Rebecca's email to us.
So, no, the liver is very unique in that sense. The liver is the only organ in the body or part of the body that has this unique ability to regenerate itself. It's an amazing thing. So normally when organs are damaged, for example, think of your skin, it forms a scar, and it's damaged and it forms a scar around there. And then that scar tissue is basically, you know, non-functional tissue. It's not the same normal tissue. But the liver, when given the chance, will try and regenerate rather than form a scar. So it's very unique in that sense.
Rebecca, thank you ever so much for getting in touch. As I say, you can do so anytime you like. Our email address is dr@nextdoorpod.com. And that's it for this episode of Dr. Next Door. Thank you, as always, to my co-host, neighbour and medical supremo, Dr. Neil Srinivasan. We'll be back again next time when Dr. Neil will again be guiding us through the medical world. I'll have another burning question and we'll answer one of your questions as well. Please do continue to rate, review and subscribe wherever you usually do your pod business. Now, Dr. Neil and I are off for a mani-pedi.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, it's the mani-pedi alarm.
Yep.
Get out of my house!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.